Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Gnar Trees Podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book, Political Ponderology, The Science of Evil, Psychopathy. And The Origins of Totalitarianism is a work of political psychology by Andrew Lobachewski, a Polish psychologist writing from experience under 20th century authoritarian rule. The book proposes that totalitarian systems cannot be understood only through ideology, economics, class conflict, or institutional failure. Its central concern is the role of psychological abnormality, especially psychopathy and related personality disturbances, in the formation of oppressive political orders. Lobachewski uses the term ponderology for the study of evil, adapting it into a framework for examining how destructive behavior becomes organized at a social and governmental scale. The book is not a conventional history of communism or fascism, nor a standard clinical psychology text. It is an interdisciplinary and speculative attempt to connect psychopathology, propaganda, mass hysteria, leadership selection, and institutional corruption. Its purpose is diagnostic to help readers recognize how pathological minorities can influence normal societies and reshape public morality. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, ponderology as a psychological study of political evil. Lobachewski defines ponderology as the study of evil, but he shifts the term away from purely theological or moral language towards psychology and social science. The book treats evil not mainly as a metaphysical force or a failure of ordinary ethics, but as a pattern of human behavior that can be observed in individuals, groups, and institutions. This move is central to the work because it tries to explain why intelligent, educated, and otherwise ordinary populations can participate in destructive political systems. Instead of assuming that mass cruelty arises only from bad ideas, poverty, resentment, or coercion, Lobachewski asks what kinds of personalities are most capable of initiating, rationalizing, and administering it. The result is a diagnostic vocabulary for political harm, concepts such as pathological egotism, emotional deficits, moral inversion, and susceptibility to manipulation become tools for understanding regimes that appear irrational when judged by normal ethical standards. The book therefore positions political evil as partly clinical, not because all supporters of oppressive systems are mentally ill, but because certain abnormal personalities can introduce patterns that others absorb, imitate, or fearfully obey. Secondly, psychopathy and character disorders as catalysts of authoritarian systems. A distinctive claim of political ponderology is that people with severe personality pathology can have disproportionate influence in moments of social stress. Lobachewski gives special attention to psychopathy, understood broadly as a deficit in empathy, conscience, and emotional resonance, combined with manipulativeness and a capacity to mimic normal social language. In his view, such individuals are often unable to understand ordinary moral experience, yet they can learn how to exploit it. The book also discusses less extreme characterological disturbances, suggesting that psychopaths rarely act alone. They attract or use individuals who are resentful, opportunistic, emotionally damaged, or ideologically rigid. This matters politically because large institutions reward persuasion, secrecy, loyalty, and strategic aggression, traits that can be used destructively when detached from conscience. Lobachewski does not argue that every tyrant can be neatly diagnosed from a distance, and modern readers should treat retrospective diagnosis cautiously. The broader argument is structural political systems that lack safeguards may allow people with abnormal moral psychology to rise, recruit allies, punish healthier dissenters, and redefine public values around domination rather than competence. Thirdly, the ponderogenic process and the gradual corruption of normal society. The book is best known for its account of the ponderogenic process, the gradual transformation through which a society becomes vulnerable to pathological rule. Lobachewski describes this not as a sudden takeover, but as a sequence of distortions. Social tension, public confusion, ideological polarization, and weakened moral judgment create openings for manipulative figures. These figures use slogans that appear noble or rational, while quietly changing the meaning of accepted values. Over time, competence may be displaced by loyalty, truth by expediency, and moral responsibility by group conformity. One of the important features of this process is that normal people can become participants without sharing the full pathology of the leaders. They adapt to incentives, repeat approved language, avoid punishment, or mistake destructive behavior for historical necessity. The process is therefore social as well as psychological. Lobachewski is concerned with how a minority can alter the emotional climate of institutions until healthier people withdraw, remain silent, or are excluded. The concept is useful because it explains authoritarianism as cumulative corruption rather than a single electoral event, coup, or ideological conversion. Fourthly, pathocracy, as rule by a psychologically abnormal minority. Lobachevsky uses the term pathocracy for a political order in which people with pathological traits dominate key positions of power and shape institutions according to their own. Distorted psychology. This is not simply dictatorship in the usual sense. A dictatorship can be explained by one ruler, one party, or military force, while pathocracy describes a wider system of selection and adaptation. In such a system, people who are honest, independent, empathic, or professionally competent become suspect because they resist the new rules of advancement. Meanwhile, individuals skilled in deception, denunciation, ideological performance, and obedience to abusive authority are rewarded. The result is a reversal of normal social functions. Law may still exist, but it serves domination. Education may continue, but it transmits approved distortions. Public language may invoke justice or progress, while practical behavior rewards fear and dependency. Lobachevsky connects this pattern to totalitarian regimes, especially those of the 20th century, but the concept is broader than one historical example. Its value lies in describing how institutions can become psychologically selective, filtering out moral independence and amplifying traits that would be dangerous in any sphere of public responsibility. Lastly, strengths, limits, and the need for critical reading. Political ponderology stands out because it offers a rare psychological explanation for political evil, but its claims require careful reading. The book is powerful as a conceptual framework. It gives language to the intuition that some political systems feel not merely mistaken or unjust, but morally and psychologically inverted. It also highlights an underexamined problem in political theory, namely the risk that institutions may be captured by people who do not share ordinary limits of conscience. At the same time, the work should not be treated as settled empirical science in the way a contemporary peer-reviewed clinical study would be. Its historical background, difficult publication history, and broad interdisciplinary scope make some claims hard to verify. The emphasis on psychopathy can also appear reductionist if it is used to ignore economics, propaganda, class interests, war, bureaucracy, or ordinary conformity. The strongest reading of the book is not that psychology explains everything, but that no account of totalitarianism is complete without attention to personality pathology, emotional contagion, and the institutional rewards given to destructive traits. In conclusion, political ponderology is best suited to readers interested in political psychology. Totalitarianism, propaganda, psychopathology, and the moral failure of institutions. It will be especially valuable for those who already know standard historical or ideological explanations of authoritarianism and want a different lens the role of personality. Pathology in public life. The practical benefit of the book is not that it provides a simple checklist for identifying enemies. Its more serious value is that it encourages psychological literacy, caution toward manipulative rhetoric, and attention to how institutions reward certain traits. Readers may come away better able to distinguish ordinary political disagreement from patterns of domination, moral inversion, scapegoating, and systematic suppression of conscience. And compared with many books on tyranny, the work is unusual because it does not begin with constitutions, parties, economics, or military power. It begins with damaged conscience and asks how that damage can scale upward into government. That makes the book distinctive, but also demanding. Its terminology is dense, its claims are ambitious, and some arguments remain debated. The strongest audience is therefore reflective, rather than casual readers willing to engage a provocative framework critically, neither dismissing it because it is unconventional, nor accepting it as a complete explanation of political evil. If you would like to support Andrew Lobachevsky, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.